Well, this morning we spoke about the applications of the membranes. Now we're going to deep about the principles that are under the membrane and the membrane technology and the membrane reactors. The main aspects that is related to a membrane is the mass transfer, the control of the mass transfer is the main important of everything related to the membrane. So as we already seen, it is a selective barrier that it is dividing two different phases, and so by applying a driving force, this membrane originates a separation of liquid, of gases, of vapors, but not solids. We already saw this one, we observed this difference. I introduced briefly about polymeric membranes, and afterwards I'll show also about inorganic dense membranes. But what are the membrane nature? We have many different kinds of membrane. Polymeric ones, ceramic, it means zeolite, alumina, zirconia, and so on, carbon, glass, metallic, liquid. There are lots of different type of membrane. Another kind of classification could be this one, the nature versus the geometry. For example, it could be tubular, oral fiber, spiral bund, and so on. It can be classified considering the separation regime, dense, porous, ion exchange, and so on. So there are many ways to distinguish one membrane from another one. The different configuration, I'll go into deep also about this, also exist. For example, we have flat membranes. We have tubular membranes in which the diameter is greater than 5 nanometers, and so on. We have symmetric, asymmetric, composite, porous, dense, many ways, because there are many membranes. For example, here we have a dense skin, dense layer, supported on a microporous polymeric membrane. This is with defects, for example. This is another dense aromatic. So there are also, in this case, different structures. I also show you this one this morning. So these are also commercial. Many of these are commercial membranes. What distinguish one membrane, one module from another one? For example, plate and frame have a specific area that ranges from 100 to 400 meter over cubic meter, and so on for all the others. We'll see later these characteristics. But there are also a lot of membrane processes. Here are only some of them, and they are distinguished between, among pressure-driven techniques, microfiltration, ultrafiltration, nanofiltration, reverse osmosis, gas separation, that means also membrane reactors, for example, dialysis, and so on, perevaporation, contactor, vapor permeation. There are a lot of techniques. It depends on the kind of problem to be solved, of course. For example, here, there is a representation of the pressure difference between permeate and retentate, or vice versa, and you can see that depending on the particles to be separated and the pressure, we have different techniques. Here you can see much more better, for example, if you have viruses, they are under the ultrafiltration technique. If you have metal ion, sugar, and so on. It is a much more complete scheme to understand better where membranes are applied. The transport through, I told you that the main importance of the membrane is related to the transport, because the membrane controls the transport of something that passes through. So we have generally a transport mechanism through the membrane that could be split into two parts. The transport on dense membranes And generally it is solution diffusion mechanism, I'll say you what it is, and transport through porous membranes. When we speak about porous membranes, we have different transport mechanisms. At least this one, six, reported here. In particular, when we speak about quasi-viscose mechanism, there is no separations. So, strictly speaking, this one is not a membrane, because the separation, the concentration that we have here between two species, A and B, is exactly the same here. So the membrane does not work, is not a membrane. Another important mechanism is the Knudsen one. In this case, when Knudsen acts, we have a very low separation factor, a very low selectivity between, for example, in the case of the gases, and so is not so much used. Vice versa, we have a surface diffusion. In this case, the molecules are concentrated here in the surface, and after the concentration of the surface, they diffuse through the surface. So this creates a mechanism for which you can see one black, for example, here, and here there are many. So it creates an interesting selectivity. Much more better is the multi-layer diffusion, in which it is the same, but not one layer, there are multi-layers that diffuse through the membrane. This is much more better in terms of selectivity. Moreover, there is a capillary condensation. Just to give you an idea, here the selectivity is 1, here is 3 point something, between 3 and 4, for example. In this case could be 300. In this case could be 600, for example, to have an idea of the numbers. The capillary condensation, in this case, molecules of a vapor, for example, condensate on the pore and do not permit to this black one to pass through. In this case, the concentration is very high. Another effect is the molecular sieving, that it depends on the diameter of the holes. But also in this case, a molecule that has this form can pass in this way, but cannot pass in this way. So it depends on the molecule. Very important that three among them, generally they are in competition each other. So it is not so easy to determine which one is has the main effect. But generally also only the Knudsen diffusion, the molecular sieving, and the solution diffusion are the most important for membrane. This one is related, I repeat, to solution diffusion, to dense membranes, and these others to porous membrane. In the case of dense membrane, the transport is always solution diffusion mechanism. In the case of porous membrane, as I told you, the Knudsen one is considered one of the best. For example, if we consider the selectivity concerning these two molecules, CO2 and the nitrogen, the Knudsen diffusion is the reverse of the square root of the molecular weights, so it is easy to calculate. In this case, for example, if you have hydrogen versus nitrogen, and you have 2 over 28, and this is the reverse, the square root is 3 something. So in this case it's fixed and does not, for example, depend on the temperature, on the pressure, and so on. Here we can see a difference on the permeation, the amount of the permeation with respect to the pore. In the configuration, we have a very high, as I told you, permeation that it permits a large selectivity. In this case, we increase we decrease the permeance, the Knudsen flux, but maybe it is wrong here, sorry. It could, no, 10 to minus 10, yeah, it is okay. The conformation here, it is low. Here, the permeability increases. In the viscous flow, it increases. In the quasi-flow, it increases. This is normal, because if you have a large pore, the membrane do not recognize one species from another one, so pass through without interacting with the wall. And this means that the selectivity is very low, but the permeability is very high. There is a reverse trend. Just a few questions, because you are engineer, so it's better to work also with a question. What is the flux? Well, the Fick's law is quite clear. If we have a bar here, a membrane, a thickness delta, and you here have an high concentration, for example, a gas, hydrogen, for example, and this is the part of low concentration, the flux is due to this equation. D is the diffusivity coefficient or diffusion coefficient at a fixed temperature. At not in this elemental space, we can consider this in a finite way. Well, what is the permeability? It is the flux divided by the driving force, delta P. This is the definition of permeability. But sometimes this is not enough, it is not sufficient, because in the case of composite membranes, it is not clear which is the thickness. It is not so easy to determine, and from a conceptual point of view has no meaning to speak about this parameter. So it is introduced the permeance. The permeance is the permeability normalized by the thickness. Okay? Having the permeability, that is the flux versus delta P, we can define the ideal selectivity, that is the ratio between the permeance of I versus another one, for example, hydrogen versus nitrogen, that is equivalent to the permeability of the gases versus the permeability to the other gases, that is equivalent to the flux Ji over the other J, if the delta P and the thickness and everything remains constant, okay? Well, but this is ideal selectivity. This means that one gas passes alone in the membrane, we measure the flux, and so on, we determine the permeability, versus another gas that passes alone too. So it's not real, practically. To have a real effect, we need to consider a mixture. In the case of mixture of two components, we have to define the separation factor, that is the ratio between the molar fractions in the permeate side versus the molar fraction in the feed side. And as I go back again to the membrane, I resumed here that the microporous membrane is so-called in the case of, this is a UPAC definition, when we have a pore diameter larger than 50, the diffusion mechanism is a Poisson. The selectivity, for example, hydrogen versus other gas is 1. 1 means that the two permeability are the same, 10 over 10, 15 over 15. This means that there is no selectivity. This is related to in the case we have a reaction. Of course, if we have big holes, through these big holes, the feed pass without having the time to react. In the case of microporous membrane, in the case of mesoporous membrane, we are in the Knudsen regime, and the diameter of the pore is in this range. So in this case, as I showed you, the selectivity hydrogen versus nitrogen, for example, for these two gases, is 3.74. The selectivity means, higher selectivity means lower permeability. It was very high, it is only high. The microporous membrane is in the range 0.52. This is an activated process. In this case, the selectivity is very high. What does it mean, very high? It depends on the gases we are considering, at temperature, pressure, and so on, maybe 5,000, 10,000, for example, but not infinite. The permeability has an average value, and here we have a low loss of reactant. In the case of dense membranes, they are split into large pore in this range and a small pore, All these follow the Fick's law. The selectivity is infinite, and the permeability vice versa is low. Look, low, average, high, very high, it increases in this direction, but it decreases, it increases in the direction, but it increases in the reverse direction. So there is a reverse trend. In the case of dense membranes, so we have a solution diffusion mechanism. That means that the molecules at first are solubilized into the membrane, into the surface of the membrane. Afterwards, they diffuse through the membrane, and afterwards they desolubilize through the other part of the membrane. I'll speak here just quickly about polymeric membranes. Polymeric membranes, the membranes are related to polymeric or glass membranes. It depends on the glass temperature. In the case of rubbery membranes, we have that the temperature is higher than the glass temperature. Well, in this case, the solubility is governed by the Fick's law. The concentration is proportional to a coefficient named the Henry coefficient, multiplied the fugacity in the case of not ideal gas. If we substitute this expression, remember there was the derivative of the concentration with respect to x. If we substitute the concentration at these two parts, we obtain this relationship. That is the permeability. This is another way. The permeability multiplied the driving force. But we here also observe this new couple. Diffusivity multiplied the solubility, that is perfectly equal to the permeability. So in each case, everywhere, every time when we speak about membranes, you have that the permeability of a species A, for example, is equal to the diffusivity multiplied by its solubility. So this is the solubility diffusivity mechanism. And so I resumed here what I said. In the case of ideal gas, we can consider the pressure, not the fugacity. So again, we have the permeance, and the ratio between the two permeability for ideal gas is the so-called ideal selectivity. Important, it is not possible generally to predict the mass transport behavior of a mixture starting from single component measurements, because it depends on the molecules we are considering, if they are hydrogen, nitrogen, CO2, and the nature of the membrane, because there are a strong effect in these, all these compounds. And moreover, they can hinder or like the one slide I showed you this morning, they can improve the permeance and also the selectivity. So it is not so easy. It is impossible practically to predict. Well, the selectivity is defined as the ratio of the two permeability. But the permeability, we saw that is the solubility multiplied the diffusivity. And the same for the other gas. So we can rearrange this formula, and we have the solubility over the other solubility, multiply the diffusivity over the other diffusivity. Well, we have other two variables, that is the solubility, the selectivity of the solubility, this one. And this one is the selectivity related to the diffusivity. So this takes into account the solubility and is related to thermodynamic. This one takes into account the diffusivity, so takes into account the kinetic. As you can see here, in all the cases, apart from the cellulose acetate membrane, in all the other cases, alpha D, this one, is greater than this. This is the ratio alpha D. Look, 6.7 over 2. This is due to the fact that the membrane is plasticized by the CO2, is modified, is not the same. So another effect to take into account. In the case of a mixture of gases, as I told you, we have to consider another variable that takes into account, for example, how is the amount of the gas that I am feeding? For example, it is 50 and 50%, 30 and 70, and of course the final value depends also in this ratio. We say about it, the separation factor by definition is always greater than one, and depends on the experimental conditions, for example, pressure different, absolute pressure, and so on, the temperature, and so on. So, for rubber polymers and low concentration penetrant, the diffusivity is generally constant for gases. Vice versa, the permeability is independent of the feed pressure. In the case of the presence of high activity of gases and vapors, the deviation from Henry's law sorption is observed. Well, this at a fixed temperature. What happens if we increase the temperature? Well, generally they follow an Arrhenius law. So the diffusivity is depending on the diffusivity at a fixed temperature, multiply this expression, exponential of the activation energy and so on. And this is the solubility, exactly the same. Of course, this is the enthalpy of solution. So P, we know, is the multiplication of D multiply S. So even in this case, we can multiply, but the exponential could be added. And so we have here that at the end we have the activation energy plus, mathematically plus, this enthalpy of solution. This is called E equals P, and is the apparent activation energy. Why apparent? Because it is not one step, not one mechanism, not one system. There is a combination of at least two. So in the this is the final expression for the permeability and the pressure. D and S are constant with respect to the concentration. This means that P, the permeability, is independent of the concentration. P is independent of the pressure. This means that P is independent of the partial pressure and also independent of the difference of the pressure between the two sides of the membrane. Oh, I skip this because there are some considerations about delta S that are the sum of two contributes. One is positive and another one is negative, and this can be calculated in a table. So to resume, we are again speaking about rubber membranes. When the temperature is greater than the critical temperature of the gases considered, everything is constant. The solubility, the diffusivity, the apparent energy of diffusion, the permeability, everything is constant. It's quite easy. Vice versa, when we are below, for example, in the case of vapor, in this case, the Henry law is not constant. The diffusion is not constant. There is a function of the activation energy with respect to the time and also with respect to concentration. And the permeability strongly depends on the pressure. So in this case, it is a hard work to determine the parameters. In the case of glassy polymers, I wanted to skip this because it is a bit complicated, because there are two contributions. One exactly the same what we said, because there are some flexible chains that are similar to the case of the rubber. Moreover, there are some voids. In this case, there are another contribution due to the glass membranes. I skip this anyway. But generally, for both, an Arrhenius plot is followed. So for polymeric membranes, this always is true. Here is a table in which we have the numbers of D, of solubility and the permeability with respect to many gases. For example, helium, 470 in this square meter per second. And you can look here, that is very low. 0.11, this is in barrier, 250. So for These are for glassy polymers and are also reported for rubber polymers. So are in tables at a fixed temperature. One barrel is defined as 10 to minus 10 cubic centimeter multiplied the thickness divided by the square considered by the second and by the millimeter of mercury. This is the definition of barrel. Well, what we observe for hundreds of different polymers is the reverse trend. As I said, when we see that the permeability is very high, vice versa, the selectivity is very low, because the membrane has no time to recognize the difference one molecule A, for example, another molecule B, oxygen or nitrogen. So this was the prior upper band that Robeson, this is the curve of Robeson, published in 1991, and after 15, 16 years, he published another one. The best for membranologists is to have a membrane that works here. So to have very high permeability and very high selectivity. So the challenge of the engineers, of people that is working in membranes, is to go in this direction. This holds for all the couple of gases we consider. CO2, methane, hydrogen, nitrogen, hydrogen, CH4, and all the other, helium, nitrogen, every time. So it is a rule for polymeric membranes. Here others. Well, to be considered, however, that the Robinson limit is not a rigid rule. This morning I showed you one exception. So people is trying to go in that direction, for example, using different polymers. This one I showed you, remember? And we are here, that is upper the limit of the gas. We have to confirm, but also in other cases were confirmed, not my results, but other kind of results similar. There are different kinds of membranes, for example, the mixed matrix membranes, in which in the polymeric is integrated with inorganic membranes. There are also hybrid membranes. Facilitate transport membranes in which the carrier is a liquid, membrane contactors, many other things that people is working membranes are thinking in order to go upper to the limit of the limit. At what time I have to finish? 5:30? Yeah, okay. Let us speak a little bit about modules that I introduced this morning. The modules have to be with low production cost, high packaging density, low energy consumption, good control of concentration polarization, and so on. So we have a lot of different modules. Here I report only some of them. This is a case of the flat membranes. This is a case, for example, of spiral wound. Look, it's a little bit complicated, as you can see, because there are many spacers, the membrane, and so on. There is a tubular membrane. There was the commercial one I showed in one of the previous slides concerning the SRAM. Generally, they are 7 or 19 tubes. And here we can see that platen frame, spiral bone, tubular, capillary, hollow, where are they used? And also about the cost. The cost is related to the application. And look, the applications are microfiltration, ultrafiltration, reverse osmosis, pervaporation, dialysis, electrodialysis, gas separation, everything about membranes. These are in a commercial situation. You can buy them. So it's not something related only to laboratory scale. So concerning the cost, for example, the tubular is costs much more than platelet frames, spiral wound, capillary holder fire, and so on. We have the control of the concentration of polarization, the membrane packing density, and also the clinability. It is important. Considering the packing density, platelet frame is, someone say, between 100 and 400. I reported here another value, 100 to 200. And the hollow fiber, for example, can reach to 30,000 square meter per cubic meter. It is difficult to correctly quantify the cost of a module because, as I told you, the same module design varies widely depending on the application. If you use microfiltration, ultrafiltration, and so on. So generally, the cost depends on the application. But to have an idea, for example, we have manufacturing cost that is, in this case, between 210, in this case, $50 to $100 dollars per square meter. And also to determine the cost, different variables are concerned. So the energy cost, the membrane cost, the maintenance cost. At the end, engineers determine the minimum of this function in order to consider which is the best model to be used. Let's skip about membrane reactors. Membrane reactors, the first publication is related to 1866 by Graham. That was the first that was using the palladium to separate hydrogen from gaseous mixtures. It was not a reaction in this case, only the separation. But quickly, Zelinsky in Moscow Institute used the palladium as a membrane catalyst. And moreover, Grasnov used it for, firstly, a dense membrane reactor. I worked 10 years with Professor Grasnov in his university. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, he died. However, the papers increased to be published really in an exponential way in all the fields of membranes, zeolite membrane reactor, polymeric membrane reactors, and everything. Here you can see that the number of papers related to the year increase with increasing the time, of course. And there are different curves in which we can see that the membrane reactor, the membrane reactor related to hydrogen, membrane reactor related to pure hydrogen are considered. Here, for example, the number of papers related, number of scientific papers on hydrogen production is the same. Look, in this here we had more than 1,000 papers related on hydrogen production. And the same is valid for other reactions, and also if we consider the membrane article and the membrane patents. Here the membrane reactor plus the steam reforming reactions. In this case, the steam reforming reaction and the membrane. In this case, the number of patents. So there is an exponential increase in every consideration. This is the ethanol steam reforming used in membrane reactors. Also here you can see an increasing that is really exponential. This figure is related to this part with a different scale, of course. The difference of the membrane reactor with respect to a membrane in a laboratory scale is practically only due to the membrane. In this case, we have a palladium-based membrane. In this case, it's a stainless steel, thick stainless steel.